Hello and welcome to the final episode of this English series of Diary of a Common Man. We'll begin the Urdu series next week. My name is Salim Lalani and thank you for joining me once again. This might be the last episode of this successful series. I want to thank you for your support and your lovely messages and your contribution from a volunteer perspective and from financial perspective so far. Thank you once again. I also thank my critics for expressing their views, but I'm not finished yet. You will see me next week with my Urdu series, obviously, which will be as exciting as English, if not more. I hope I will receive as much love as I received in this series. Last week, we took an example of a real Aga Khani. In fact, the president of the Australia-New Zealand Council, Mr. Karim Sumar, an educated, intelligent and otherwise a very reasonable man, to understand how childhood indoctrination deludes people into specific psychological disorder called Stockholm Syndrome. This week, we will put two more murids on the stage to display how cowardice and delusion works. Yes, story of Chatur and Fatum. Before we begin the story, let me introduce Chatur and Fatum. Mr. Mahbub Chatur and Mr. Sadruddin Fatum are Aga Khanis. Mr. Chatur has served the Itrab, that is Ismaili Tariqa and Religious Board, in the past. And Mr. Fatum is an Alwais, a scholar. Not your everyday Alwais. He is actually connected with the Institute of Ismaili Studies in London. Now, let's get to the story. These two great individuals are also members of an elite email group, 200 strong, which includes high-profile Aga Khanis, such as people who work very closely with the Imam himself. 200 people on this email group, and they are members of that group. Now, the story begins on 18th of April this year. At that stage, I was unaware of Mr. Chatur and Mr. Fatum's existence. Mr. Chatur obviously might have watched my videos, and being a good Aga Khani murid, he wrote an email to the group advising them of how to deal with Salim Lalani, how to respond to his questions. Now take note, who is he advising? He is advising the staff of Institute of Ismaili Studies. He is advising Ismaili Tariqa and Religious Education Board. He is advising Leaders International Forum. He is advising Global Councils, scholars and Wazeens. And his advice is about, obviously, how to deal with Salim Lalani. But here is the funny thing. Although he advises people to respond, how to respond to Salim Lalani, but he doesn't deal with Salim Lalani himself. Surprising? You want somebody to do the work for you, but you don't have the guts to face Salim Lalani. But that is Aga Khani Murid on an average. Yeah? This is a live and a tangible example of cowardice. Anyway, no one took notice of his advice, because no one from Aga Khani system knew how to deal with me, and hence they did not respond to me. My questions are still outstanding. Not one soul has come forward, including Mr. Chatur, to answer my questions. Now, let's analyze his advice, his valuable advice that he gave all these scholars. In his email, he identifies four issues and then gives his advice. We will look at the gist of his advice in the interest of time. You can read the whole email below. first issue that Salim Lalani has, according to Mr. Chatur, is Ismailis pray to Aga Khan as God. And his advice is that you tell Salim Lalani that Ismailis believe in oneness of Allah, but pray to Imam. Ismailis believe in oneness of Allah, but pray to Imam. And then Imam prays to Allah. Sending prayers to Imam is ordained by Allah. Salim Lalani says, why do Ismailis give money to Aga Khan to buy blessings and remove and dissolve all their problems? We should respond to Salim Lalani that Ismailis give money to Imam just like Muslims gave the money to Prophet and Murids give voluntarily, and Imam gives back. Get this, Imam gives back 150% to the community. Salim Lalani, one of his problems is there is no accountability from Aga Khan of the hundreds of millions of dollars. Here, Mr. Chatur accepts that there is no accountability. But leaders are to blame for that, not the Imam. Although Imam is the beneficiary of all that money, but he is not responsible. The leaders are responsible. As if leaders run the show, and this is where we are leading to, the leadership mafia. And Salim Lalani has one more problem, and that is Ismailis are not allowed to use their intellect and cannot ask questions. And again, Mr. Chatur accepts that yes, it is true that leaders marginalize murids who ask questions. But again, Imam cannot be blamed for that. Leaders are to blame for that. Yeah. So there's a big disconnection between Imam and the Jamaat. Alright. That's what Mr. Chatur says in his email. But in May, about a month later, Mr. Chatur crossed the limits. In a separate email to the group, he made an allegation that Salim Lalani was spreading misinformation via his videos. He says in his email, this lady has an agenda like Salim Lalani, using facts selectively and in not context to misinform and throw seeds of doubt to drive the agenda and beliefs. At that stage, ladies and gentlemen, I was unaware of this message and the allegation, but I became aware soon after that, and no sooner I became aware, I challenged Mr. Chatur to demonstrate how did I misinform people in my videos. What part of the content of my videos is misinformation? Please show me one example of the misinformation. What do you think? Would Mr. Chatur come back to me and substantiate the allegation? Remember Mr. Karim Sumar? He had done the same thing. He had accused me of dividing the Jamaat. And when I confronted him, what did he do? He went back into his shell. By the way, legal action on Mr. Chatur is pending once COVID settles down. And I'll keep you posted of that development. Mr. Chatur did not come forward. But guess who did? Enter Mr. Fatum, Al-Wayz Aga Khani scholar at IIS, Mr. Sadruddin Fatum. He is on that email group and he must have followed the email trail between me and Chatur. Next thing, he responds to my challenge. And the gist of his response in the email, which you can read below, is number one, Salim Lalani is asking questions much bigger than his imagination. Two, Salim Lalani is a caveman who had never been out of his darkness and deny the sun ever existed. Just like I had challenged Mr. Chatur, I challenged Mr. Fatum, but do you think he would come out to explain? No. Now, I cannot take Mr. Fatum to the court. But I can take Mr. Chatur because he has accused me of spreading misinformation. Mr. Fatum, he says I'm a caveman. You decide who is a caveman. Okay. He is not answering my questions. He's just saying I'm a caveman in that email. He makes no attempt to validate his viewpoint. He refers me to a couple of verses of the Quran, which has got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. That's what he does. The moral of the story is, number one, Imam can do no wrong. He is infallible, and that is the end of the story. Whether he sleeps with other women, whether he is looting poor people, whether he is not accounting for the money, whatever he does, he is infallible. You cannot question him. Number two, Aga Khanis like Mr. Fatum, like Mr. Sumar, and like Mr. Chatur will throw stones at you, but only when you are not looking. But no sooner you confront them, they hide like a mouse. And lastly, anyone that challenges a system is a caveman. This is how it works. You challenge the system in the Jamaat Khana, that's what they do to you. Mr. Fatum is a live example of that. And this is why people are scared. Mr. Fatum has given you the live example. Mr. Sumar has given you the live example. And Mr. Chatur has given you the live example of why Aga Khanis cannot ask a question. Why Aga Khanis cannot exercise their basic human right of thinking for themselves and speaking freely. They deny this right to the Jamaati members in Aga Khani system. And they say to me they are educated. They say to me they are intelligent. They say to me they are civilized. I say to them they are uncivilized. They are living at least 1,000 years ago. At least. I can challenge you. Mullah of the masjid is much more educated than these individuals that I am naming, Mr. Sumar, Mr. Fatum and Mr. Chatur. Mullah has his own problems. There is no doubt about it. There is no doubt in my mind that Mullah has a problem, but these people are worse than Mullahs. Before I wrap up this series, I would like to bring forward one comparison. Content of this comparison I may have covered in the past videos, but I would like to repeat it once again before I conclude the series. I would like the world to know that Aga Khan is a human being and so are his murids. The reason I would like to highlight this is whenever you ask an Aga Khani, why do you pray to Aga Khan? They say because he has the Noor of Allah. Aga Khan has got the Noor of Allah. As if only he has the Noor of Allah. The truth is, every particle in this cosmos has got the Noor of Allah. Every particle in this cosmos has got the Noor of Allah. Without it, nothing can survive. How do you teach Aga Khanis this basic knowledge that nothing can survive without the Noor of Allah? You, me, the stone, the trees, the animals, the ocean, everything, the atom, molecules, chromosomes, everything is made up of Noor of Allah. Even the space, the air that we breathe has got the Noor of Allah. Now, Aga Khanis think only Imam has got the Noor of Allah. Am I justified in saying that they are worse than a Mullah? You know, after understanding Aga Khanis, I personally did not have very high regard for Mullahs. But now, I feel that I'm beginning to have respect for the Mullah. At least he will hear me. At least he will give me that much respect. At least he will show that much respect that I'm a human being and I'm an individual. I have my own intellect and I have a right to speak. Anyway, So this misconception is obviously out of utter ignorance and delusion, and it must be dealt with. To do that, we will first display the conduct of Aga Khani Murid and then the conduct of Aga Khan, the Noor of Allah. Yep. An average Aga Khani is an educated from literary point of view, degree and all that, intelligent from only secular point of view, a family man, a family person rather, social, very social, and he keeps away from trouble. That is how Aga Khani is. Just like any other human being, he also makes mistakes, but by and large, his conduct is honorable, respectable. But can we say the same thing about Aga Khan? I describe Aga Khan as an abuser of human beings, abuser of trust, abuser of money. An average murid is not an abuser. Aga Khan gets caught committing adultery, not once, twice. An average Aga Khani is not an adulterer like his imam. Remember, I say average. I know many, many murids have been caught with their pants down. I've even heard of stories in Aga Khani Jamaat Khanas where the Aga Khani leaders holding spiritual positions, having affairs with the Jamaati members. I've heard of stories like that. But what we are talking about is an average. Not every Aga Khani is an adulterer on an average. Yeah. Apart from being an abuser, the imam is also an identity thief. He masquerades himself as a Shia imam when it is well known that he is a cult leader. And cult cannot evolve from Islam. Cult and Islam is like North Pole and South Pole. They have Aga Khanis have got nothing to do with Islam. That is number one. He cannot be a Shia imam. And then again, based on hard evidence, he masquerades himself as a humanitarian when he is actually a financial fraud. His murids, on the other hand, is not a financial fraud. So in a nutshell, an average murid is not an abuser, he is not an adulterer, and he is not a financial fraud. Aga Khan is. Would it not be derogatory? I'm asking the people within Ismaili Jamaat, Aga Khani Jamaat, and the Muslims at large. My question to you is, would it not be derogatory to associate the Noor of Allah with a mortal like Aga Khan? Would it not be derogatory to associate the divinity, the purity of Allah with Aga Khan? You decide. This series is now more than 6 months old. Along this journey, we have debunked Aga Khan's claim to be the descendant of the Prophet. To do that, we traveled from Arabia to Syria to North Africa to Iran to India, and then we finally arrived in Europe. We also put the immoral lives of Aga Khan III, Sultan Muhammad Shah, his son Ali Khan, and his grandson, the current Aga Khan. We learned how Aga Khan runs a cult, an organization involved in indoctrinating people into believing he is God and then psychologically deform them into extorting money. We also debunked the idea that Aga Khan is a humanitarian based on the fact that his network is about investments, making money, profit making, and not charity. We proved with evidence that he does not account for the truckloads of cash which more than likely makes it to him via illegal means. Lastly, we proved the fact that Aga Khanism cannot be associated with Islam. Where do we go from here? We have an abuser, abusing people, and unsuspecting murids. What do we do? What do I do? And what do you do? As an Aga Khani, you know for a fact that your imam is no imam, he is a fraudster, he is a con man. You know it, but you prefer to brush this under the carpet. You have decided to remain a part of the fraudulent system, but why? Because you are afraid to ask a question. You are afraid of being marginalized by people like Mr. Sumar, Mr. Fatum and Mr. Chatur. You fear the community. And who is the community? You and me. You and me make this community. You and me are the ones who backbite. You and me are the gossip mongers. You and me do everything to put others down. And despite all that, you and me call ourselves educated and civilized. Yes, you and me are afraid of the community. Does anyone fear a good community? Ask yourself, does anyone fear a good community? But you are fearing your community. So, what does that tell us about your community? It is not a good community. We have decided to live in this filthy place called an Aga Khani system because we are born in the filth and we cannot sense the filth. A pig that is raised in filth, he has become used to it. He cannot see. There is open skies to fly. The purity of the air above in the sky, he doesn't know that. He is born in the filth and he'll die in the filth. After all, we have a right to choose. Where do we want to live? One choice is to live in the fantasy land, in the filth. The other is the path of hakikat, the truth. Wouldn't it be better to live alone if we can't find a good community? When I say a good community, I don't mean the community must be perfect. All I'm saying, as a community, we must give people the right to think and speak freely. And if there is anything wrong going on, we should be able to stand up and ask a question. And if we don't get the answer, we should insist upon it. And if we still don't get the answer, we should understand that there is something wrong. And we should then have the courage to leave the system. But what do? We are born fearful and we will die fearful. Now we are stuck. But guys, I understand. You are fearful. I have got a solution for you. A middle way. If you cannot leave the fraudulent community, stay within it. But at least change yourself. Number one, stop paying money to this fraudster. And if you must give money, give it to somebody who is needy. Second, stop saying things like, you are a sinner from top to toe. Stop it. Believe me, no one is a sinner from top to toe. You have been fooled. Number three, give people the right to think for themselves. And lastly, but not the least, learn from your children. Over the last 6 months, since I started the series, I have met so many people online, young people from around the world, from different cultures, from different thought processes, from different systems, hand on heart. They have been my teachers. What I know now at the age of 60, they know at 25. Learn from your children. Learn from the youth. Let go of your stupidness, your foolishness. Think for yourself. Let go of your ego. Give your conscience some air to breathe. Because Allah will ask you. Don't forget. That's all I ask. In return for my sacrificing of my money, sacrificing my time, sacrificing my relationships, and for risking my life. That's all I ask. I don't want your money. You might have seen on my website, there's no donation anymore. There will be no donations. And if I want money to run the organization, I will call individuals myself and I will select people who will donate. Not everybody will be able to donate. I don't want your money. I just want you to wake up. Wake up. This is 21st century. See you next week with the launch of my Urdu series. Thank you.